Yasodhanannana Brajajananjana Yasodhanannana Brajajananjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Oh sing Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Radha, Kunya Vihari Radha, Kunya Vihari Radha.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nivesesha Shunyavadi Paskatyani Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavansha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitansha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vanchagarbhataru Vaisha Kripa Sindhu Vaivaja Patitanam Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, I thank you very much for coming in such representative numbers today to our yearly disciple meeting. This meeting gives me a chance to address you as your spiritual master with some important spiritual instructions, and it gives you the chance to understand a little bit more what your spiritual master wants to give you. It's in other words a forum where we can meet heart to heart. The disciple meeting gives us an opportunity to get close to each other. And I would like to say that this opportunity is both rare and precious. It is rare because at the moment I travel so much and I have more and more responsibilities, more and more contacts with so many more devotees and people from the outside. So it is not so often that we can meet like this. And sometimes I think, especially my older disciples, wish that the old times may come again, where we are more often together and we have more time to express and to listen. I myself do recognize that this is a development which I think is unavoidable, but which doesn't really give me so much pleasure in the heart. It's unavoidable that as life goes on and things are getting faster. We live in a society which demands multi tasks of each one of us. We have a lot more to do, a lot more in our minds. Changes have happened in our lives which demand our attention. So it's not possible to have always the association which we like to have. And I'm sometimes very much sad because of this. Sometimes you see a devotee during the initiation, and then the next time you see them is 10 years after. Hello, are you still, everything all right? From the beginning of acting as your spiritual master, I could see this development coming as something which is both natural and unavoidable. And I always have tried to give you a solution which works for me in my relationship with Srila Prabhupada. The solution is that we learn to associate through transcendental sound. I've spoken in the previous disciple meetings extensively about this, but I would like to mention it here as well. It's very important that we have this type of association, in personal association with our spiritual master. And it happens through sound. I always tell myself, Satchinandan Swami, if you want to meet Srila Prabhupada, meet him in your heart, and you can get in your heart, into your heart, to that meeting place with Prabhupada through sound. In Frankfurt Airport, you find a few arrows distributed everywhere. The arrows say, to the meeting point, this way. It's for people who have arrived from distant countries and they need to meet their relatives at the airport. And there is a certain point, it's called the meeting point, where the relatives wait for them, and a traveler who comes from a far distant place can go to this meeting point and then be together with the relatives. So I always feel that we need meeting points like this for our relationship to go on unimpeded. That means without obstacles. We need to have these arrows, this way, go this way, and here you can meet me. The transcendental sound, which are the arrows which brings us there. That means in our kirtan we are together, in our japa which we do daily we are together, or we can be together, and especially in listening to recorded lectures, and reading books and articles and so on. We can meet together in the meeting point of transcendental sound. I think it's very important. If we don't do this, then our relationship will become distant. There will be a distance created, and that is painful to the heart. The heart does not want that. Auf Wiedersehen, Boyko. The heart does not want that. This is something which I wanted to say. I'm really can only say, let us meet in the land of transcendental sound vibration as often and as satisfying as possible. Why is it important to meet regularly? I've written something down from Prabhupada. something which will form the first or the second point in my little address this morning. Prabhupada wrote in the second canto about the essential ingredient of making spiritual advancement. And this has very much to do with our first point, meeting our spiritual masters through transcendental sound. He said, for advancement in material knowledge, you need a certain ability and you need to be able to do research. In spiritual knowledge, that means advancement in Krishna consciousness, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. The spiritual master must be satisfied with the disciple. Only then is spiritual knowledge automatically revealed before the student of spiritual science. See, and how to express it, when we want to go forward in our material life, there are a few factors which can help us: our own effort, the connections which we have with important key persons, what else is helpful, money, good looks, high education, and so on. But if you want to really go forward in your spiritual life, blessings or mercy is important. Much more important than these material factors which I have mentioned. And these blessings can come through our spiritual master if we can satisfy him through our mood, our Krishna conscious attitude, our motivation, and also through our active service. My dear devotees, it was such a discovery in my own Krishna consciousness, because as some of you know, I do come from a family which holds different values. I'm a Western person who believed for a long time in the achiever's mentality. That means do something very hard, work hard, let your connections work, and then you can attain what you wish to attain. But I have noticed that in Krishna consciousness this doesn't work. I need mercy and I need blessings, and when that is there, then in an invisible way, without me even knowing how it exactly happens, wonderful results happen on my path. Especially the last few months or years, I have really become surprised how Krishna has blessed all my desires to serve him and to serve my exalted spiritual master. It is surprising for me. I just wanted this. I wanted to meet this person. You know, I always had this desire to make a program with Madonna and the Dalai Lama, for just as an example. Then someone phones me and says, "You are in our event organizing team, where we will make a big Kumbh Mela festival in New York, and our guests of honor are the Dalai Lama and for the entertainment Madonna." And I think, what? I have to be careful what I desire, because Krishna seems to fulfill everything. When he is pleased with the service attitude, the mood of the devotee, mood and the effort to please him. This has, I do not know if I can make you understand, but it has given great relief to my heart, because oh, if I have to endeavor and do everything my own on my own, and think of this and think of that, and I'm anyway so useless and I forget everything and so on, where will I get, you know, in life? But since I have become convinced that you just have to try to serve and try to connect with Krishna, then Krishna does everything. This brings me to another point, a point which is very, very deep in my heart these days, and I think many of you have heard me talk about this in different places. It's the question of ashraya, our shelter. Ashraya is the ultimate shelter of a devotee. It comes from the verbal root shri, which means something like to depend on. And ashraya is, in other words, the ultimate shelter on which the devotee depends. He has made himself dependent. It's the fundament of his life. The ultimate reference point. Now, Prabhupada says the main problem of our material of our life is durashraya. Durashraya means a shelter which is false. It means the material energy or an arrangement in the material energy. You can see how advanced you really are. At the time when you are in a difficult situation where you need to take shelter. I very much like this in Saranandi. Saranandi has, for the last few years, had very concrete meetings with death. Very concrete. She could see her physical end already a few times. And I always noted that at such a time she would not really take shelter anywhere else than in Krishna and then in her spiritual master. And mysteriously for the doctors, she always has said goodbye to death. see you. I don't know if I should recommend this to anyone, but she doesn't take medicine, she just takes japamala. And it works in her case brilliantly. There are 50 people in the hospital who always tell her, do this, take this, do this, do this. No, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then they all go out of the room. Next morning we will not see her. Next morning Saranandi is there. Hari Bol! I personally think, of course, we should take medicine. I mean, she also takes natural medicines. It's not that she doesn't take any medicine. My point here is slightly different. It's not what we don't do, it's what we do in our life. And this taking shelter is something which is so important. And you need to be clear about your shelter. Who is your shelter? And do you have a relationship to that shelter? Or is it just theoretical, like most of the beginners in spiritual life only have theoretical understanding of their ashraya? What is going on between you and Krishna? Do you pray every morning? Do you hear, or at least get some signs of confirmation that he is there in your life? Are you offering your food in a devotional way? Are you offering it just out of a matter of duty? I was a few days ago in a Krishna conscious school, the Avanti school in London, and I saw, and there was a devotee who told me, Oh, Maharaj, we are very fortunate in this school. Our food is so good that the other schools are ordering from us. And I said, that's very bad. Because they order from you thinking that they get prasadam, but you are only serving vegetarian food. The cook was really, what? No, we offer. And I said, I have seen you doing your offerings. Do you think Krishna will accept your offerings? You just put it on this little altar, which is not even nice. This is not a house of God. This is just some pictures which bend over to the side. You are cheaters. The schools want prasadam, but you only serve them something which God does not accept. I said, think about me. Make a good altar. Make good offerings. Krishna is not obliged to take your food which you have thrown before him. He needs your devotion. He doesn't need your apples and tomatoes. No one had ever spoken like this to the devotees. They all had thought, I would be so happy that now more prasadam. But I wanted to make the point which I'm talking many times now. Ashraya, shelter, you know, relationship, connection, spiritual connection. Everything we do in this world will be one day, will go from us. Everything which we do in this world will leave us. Only the shelter which we have taken, that will stay with us. Even at the moment of death, this shelter will be with us and will carry us on to our next destination. So, after I had spoken like this, I embraced the cook and I cried with him and said, Brother Cook, forgive me, but I see you only for 7 minutes, and if there is, and maybe I don't see you ever again in my life. And I wanted to do a contribution to your life. I wanted to serve you. I wanted to give you a point to think which will stay with you for a long time. Please forgive me. I always do it. I think I'm a servant of the devotees, and I must wake you up from a compromised spiritual life. Krishna. Shelter. What is your shelter? To whom do you turn? How do you turn to him? This is a question which will determine your spiritual life. And you will have a happy spiritual life if you have shelter, and you will have a mixed spiritual life. Happiness and distress is there, and if you don't take shelter. Hare Krishna, Vrindavan Chandra, welcome. I would request some of you to open the windows, because the room is heating up with this point of taking shelter. In Switzerland, I talked about Akrura. Akrura had brought Krishna from Mathura to, from Vrindavan to Mathura in the chariot sent by King Kamsa. Akrura knew that King Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, but he knew, he understood it's not possible to kill Krishna. Krishna instead will kill Kamsa. He had this faith in Krishna's strengths and superior abilities. But, you know, as Akrura was driving with Krishna out of Vrindavan, he got doubts. He saw Krishna was so absolutely sweet. You know, Krishna pointed at the trees to Balaram and said, here's this Naga Keshari tree. Look, there's our tulsi plant. And Krishna was playful. Krishna sometimes jumped from the chariot, choop, like little boys do. He was restless and playful. And Akrura thought, he's so sweet and I'm driving him to Kamsa, the tyrant who wants to kill him. Just look at my character. I'm such a bad character. I'm doing this. So Akrura went back and forth between, it's called the Aishwarya concept of Krishna, where he understood Krishna to be all-powerful and indefeatable, and the Madhurya concept of Krishna, where he understood Krishna to be unlimitedly sweet and unlimitedly a little child, the Bal Krishna, Bal Govinda, you know, he went back and forth. So when they arrived in Mathura, Akrura said, Krishna, if you can kindly visit my home. Krishna said, yes, after I am done with Kamsa. And again Akrura said, this would be... I'm bringing him to Kamsa. This is really so bad of me, you know. And he will enter the arena, and then Kamsa will try to kill him. I don't think he will visit me afterwards. Imagine, Jaigopal, you go out of this temple room, and then there is someone who tries to kill you, you know, and then invites you to his home. You will say, I'm not interested to come to your home, you know. But Krishna had said, I come to you, Akrura. And Akrura, from that day on, started to clean his house. There is no report in the Bhagavatam that Akrura was there in the arena of Kamsa, because he just couldn't tolerate that his lord would be attacked. He was instead home and preparing the home, you know. No cushions, no wall paints. You know, he really did a good job. Then when Krishna finally came, Akrura was surprised. Wow, I have sent him to the arena of death and he still comes to me. And he spontaneously composed this verse, Kapanditas Tvat Aparam. In this verse he describes how Krishna is the worthy shelter of everyone. And he gives three reasons why it's good to take shelter in Krishna. He says, what learned person would approach anyone but you, O Krishna, for shelter? My dear Lord, now comes the first reason, you are very affectionate to your devotees. Second reason, you are also a truthful and a grateful friend. Where is that learned Hare Krishna devotee who would give you up and surrender to someone else? It's where is that learned person who would give you up and surrender to someone else? You fulfill all the desires of your devotees, so much that sometimes you even give yourself to them. Still, you neither increase or decrease by such activity. So Akrura remembers that Krishna seems to like his devotees. He's the affectionate friend of his devotees. You remember when Grandfather Bhishma died on the battlefield of arrows, Krishna came before him in his very sweet form, surrounded by the five Pandavas brothers. And when Grandfather Bhishma saw that at the moment of his death, Krishna had appeared to him in person, he said, you are Bhakta Vatsala. You are the friend of your devotees. Now allow me to leave my body. And he looked at Krishna with tears of his eyes and just left his body like this. Huh? Krishna is affectionate. He likes his devotees. And the devotees like him. Krishna is also truthful. Akrura says, you are true to your word that you would come to my home after you had taken care of Kamsa. And then Akrura said, you are grateful. You are so grateful for whatever little worship a devotee offers. And even if the devotee forgets what he has done for you, you never forget. We have with us a wonderful devotee, Anandini, a very advanced devotee who has worshipped Radha Madan Mohan for many long years. And I know for the worship of Radha Madan Mohan, she has given up an academic career, and she put also her household ashram on wait. Now, many years selfless service to Radha Madan Mohan, and now she is the mother of a wonderful child and is in Grihastha ashram and is no longer serving so often Radha Madan Mohan personally. But Krishna is grateful. He will never forget that service. Never, ever. He will, even if a devotee, which will not happen to Anandini, but just in theory, if a devotee would forget Krishna, Krishna never forgets the devotee. That's his habit. That's his character. That's how he is, grateful. And therefore, because Krishna is so truthful, he has given a promise that my devotee will never perish. I always take care of my devotee. And because Krishna is grateful and affectionate, Akura says, who could surrender to anyone else than Krishna? Krishna is the one one should surrender to. I would really like to request you to enter your personal relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna. Kanaya is needing the mother. Yes. I really want to really want to make this point to you very strongly. Please don't forget to take shelter. Every day you must be in this consciousness, and I can really promise you your life will be wonderful. There's a wonderful verse which I have often quoted in the Japa retreats. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22, text 33. With this verse you can practice to take shelter. I will read it to you, and then I will tell you again where you can find it so that you can learn it. Krishna toma hanayadi bale ekabada maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. Krishna toma hanayadi bale ekabada maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. One is immediately freed from the clutches of maya. Are you sometimes in maya? Yes. Unfortunately. So if you want to be free, one is immediately freed from the clutches of maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. Please say with me, my dear Lord Krishna,
my dear Lord Krishna,
although I have forgotten you,
for so many long years in the material world,
today I'm surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant.
Please engage me in your service.
You just need to practice doing this every day. And it's like the Gayatri Mantra or something, you know. Every day you do it and you will see it influences your subtle body and your desires. If you want to find this verse, I will say it again for you because I think it's important. It's in Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 33. It's actually very easy. CC Madhya 22, that's twice the 2, and then the next number is 3, so verse 33. Very easy to... I think I can even try to remember the number. I want to now talk about a problem which I have seen in many of my disciples, and I would like to offer a solution. There are two problems which I want to speak about. One is material desires which come and what to do, and the second is discouragement and what to do. And then we will make a pause and see a movie. But I want to see, somehow the atmosphere is a little nervous. Is it just because of the translation, or do we need air, or it's maybe just the sound of the translation, isn't it? Oh, Vrindadevi, you are really the friend of all of us today. You really have developed a system of taking care of it. I'm observing you, how you use all your education and knowledge into closing and opening the windows at the proper time. I'm extremely proud of you. It's a wonderful service. No, im Ernst, also ich meine es jetzt nicht komisch, sondern wirklich sehr gut. My dear devotees, let's be very honest. We are in the family. Sometimes material desires come. Yes?
Yes.
That is also there, we have to say. And have you noted, sometimes the material desires seem to be so strong that you almost feel, let me get this quickly over with so that there's peace. Because you feel helpless. Prabhupada spoke about this. Why they come, and I hope to find this for you. Yes, it's at the right place. After all, Prabhupada says, to give up one's life completely for serving the Lord is not so easy. You know, to give up your life completely in the service of Krishna is not so easy. And Maya, or the illusory material energy, tries especially hard to try to get back and entrapped those who have left her service to become devotees. You know, Maya really tries to get you when you are very serious. When you chant this mantra, which I have given you, you will see your life starts to move. Maya also listens to this mantra. The verse says, if one is Krishna's sincere and serious service, Krishna helps, you know, and accepts. But Maya will also come. Yip! Oh, here is someone who thinks it's all so easy. And you will see. I mean, by the way, even if you don't chant this, you are even more in Maya. I'm not saying don't chant this. Maya will only come then. No, she comes. But you don't notice Maya when you don't start to chant this verse. When you start to chant this verse, you think, my God, I really have forgotten Krishna. I'm really very distracted in my devotional life. I really, something needs to be done, I can see. So Maya is there for the devotee who wants to become Krishna conscious, and she enters your heart with material desires of various kinds, you know, for wealth maybe, for position, you know, for material beauty and material enjoyment. For education, you may want to be very learned in some fields, and
any type of material desire, Maya will give you, which can distract you if you're not careful. But today I want to tell you something which you can do. You should, in your mind's eye, in your heart, you should learn to fix up a desire for Krishna. To fix up, I mean something which is firm, which stays with you. Like I know, for instance, Siddheshwari in Persia, in the wants to serve Krishna very, very much, and she has fixed up her desire to be a yoga teacher, and she teaches through yoga people on their different levels and brings them further on their levels. This is a very good desire which you can have. Some desire which you should fix up in your heart. Fix up means really to bring it there and that it doesn't go there. And you will see, I'm trying to find this, when you have at least one desire in your heart to serve Krishna, from this one desire, the unnecessary or disturbing desires will go by association with that Krishna desire. And I don't think it is very difficult for you to fix one Krishna desire in your heart. One Krishna desire, that is all what is necessary in the midst of the overwhelming darkness of material ignorance and so on. One Krishna desire can work wonder, just like one little can work wonders, just like a little match. When it is stroken in the darkness, can easily take care of tons of darkness. It's not a problem for that light of the match. There is a good example which I heard once. It was about a Vaishnava king who had a very small kingdom. And he lived next to a very materialistic king who had a huge kingdom. So this Vaishnava king was so popular that people talked about how he gave charity, how he was, how he had a good word for everyone he met, how he was not proud. And as a result, this wicked neighbor king, who had vast military strength, became so envious that one day he just attacked the small kingdom next to him of that Vaishnava king. And the Vaishnava king had to, you know, he couldn't fight with this army. You know, he had to declare his defeat. But still, people praised the Vaishnava king, even in the kingdom of this wicked king. They talked about his qualities even more. How even when he was defeated, he kept being a nice personality. And even, you know, it was amazing. So the wicked king became so envious that he said, anyone who gives me the severed head of that Vaishnava king, his name was Govinda Singh, of Govinda Singh, I will pay him 100,000 gold coins. That was as much as maybe 20 million euros, you know, at that time. So everyone, whoa, my God, 20 million euros. I mean, I can secretly kill Govinda Singh and give him secretly the head, this king. And many people who were wicked were enthusiastic to commit this crime and this murder. And Govinda Singh had to run into the forest, grow a beard and live like a sadhu for his safety. So one day, it so happened that a poor Brahmana
who needed to marry his daughter and needed to provide for a dowry, a mitgift, came into this forest and came as a guest to Govinda Singh, who lived there in camouflage, you know, in hiding. And Govinda Singh took care of this brahmana, and at the end the brahmana said, I have to marry my daughters. I'm so poor. Could you maybe give me some money? So Govinda Singh thought, I have no money any longer. I'm living as a sadhu here. He said, but this brahmana really is in great distress because he feels he needs to marry his daughters. So then Govinda Singh made a terrible determination. He said, come with me. I will give you enough money. So he went with that brahmana to the neighbor king. And he went to the king and said, here I am, Govinda Singh. You can cut my head, but give the 100,000 gold coins to this brahmana. The king went, what? You are Govinda Singh? And he looked very closely and he could see, yes, that was Govinda Singh. Only he had now long hair and a beard like a sadhu. And you are offering your own head to give charity to this brahmana? Govinda Singh, today you have won my heart. And in the Balkans we would say, Govinda Singh, today you have killed me. You know, that's how do you express it in Balkan language. Today you have won my heart. I see you are so good and I am so bad. I will leave my bad qualities now and I will also become better. This is what happens when you bring something wonderful into an environment. If you bring a desire, a fixed up desire to serve Krishna and take shelter in Krishna's lotus feet, at this time you will actually see how your bad qualities will leave you. Your bad desires, your harmful desires, which are unfortunately also little strong, we have to say, they will leave you in the association, in the superior association of a good desire for Krishna. Therefore, my dear devotees, you may be high, you may be low, you may be qualified like Anandini or disqualified like me. You know, you may be this or that. It doesn't matter. If you can somehow have these two points clear, your ashraya, what is your ultimate shelter, and relate to this ashraya. I've given you a mantra which you can study and read and use from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And second is, fix a desire in your heart to do some service to Krishna. Just one thing. And you will see how the bad things which are maybe there, material desires and so on, will slowly go. This works. This is really not just some nice pep-up talk. It really works. You know. Bhakti Narottam says, Kama krodha lobha moha Mahamatsaya dambasaha stane stane niyokta koribo ananda kori hidoy ripu kori. Ripu means enemy. Ripu kori parijoy anayase govinda bhajibo. I will engage my lust, my anger, my greed, my illusion, envy and pride, all in Krishna's service. Engage whatever energy you have, whatever desires you have, by doing this one thing, desire one thing for Krishna. Thus I can defeat these enemies with a blissful heart and easily worship Govinda. Simple process from Narottam Das Thakur. I will engage this quality of desire for something in Krishna. There may be many unwanted desires, but one good desire take, and that engage in your ashraya, and with a blissful heart, you will easily worship Govinda. I want to make a pause now. We will see a movie Radha Kripa has prepared. Yeah. Yes, you must say something.
So, dear devotees, now we actually have something that Shyamam Mataji nicely brought to us. As a first movie, we want to present to you Madhavananda Prabhu, who is a very wonderful senior devotee. To those who are visiting the retreats in Vrindavan, he's known as one of the regular lecturers on these retreats, on Japa and Kirtan retreat. He's also the publisher of Krishna Kathamrita magazine and the publisher of the most wonderful books of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. So he had something that he wanted to share with us on this special occasion, and we invite you to look together with us.
So, it's my very good fortune to try to say a few things about Sri Sachinanda Maharaj. He's a very, very special and wonderful Vaishnava. And we see at the state of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramanda Kamite Bhavyanji, Guru Krishna Prasadi. When the jiva is crying in the heart for Krishna, then Krishna comes to him in the form which is known as Krishna Kripa Srimati, who is Sri Gurudev. So I see how Sri Sachinanda Maharaj has been helping so many people all over the world. Wherever he goes, people just love him. Raj, all the sadhus, the Vajrasis, Radhakum, Babaji's, and Goswami's, and Dhanan. And that's a very extraordinary thing. Most Western devotees can't say that. But they see Maharaj is so very, very special because he's spreading the harmony, and he's such a very simple person by nature. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say that Sarvadehi Vaishnava, that the nature of a Vaishnava is that they're simple. And we see that wonderful quality in such an animal. Simple doesn't just mean that someone may say that someone who is a retarded person, who is ignorant. But simple, not simple like that, but simple means that someone is the avasayatnika buddhi, the very, very focused. And you see that when we say this phrase, Krishna Kripa Srimurti, that the embodiment of Krishna's mercy, the embodiment of what mercy? When we say Sakshat Dhavad Vinasta Master Shastra, that he's the manifestation of Krishna, the form of Krishna's Shakti, what Shakti? Different Vaishnavas will have different Shaktis. Maharshala Prabhupada's God brothers. He said, I consider Prabhupada to be a Shakti Vaishavitam. Why? Because what Shakti? He said that Prabhupada had this special Shakti to preach to people in the West. And we see with Srila Sachinanda Maharaj, he has a particular Shakti. And he's going everywhere. He's so headcounted, so one-pointed, speaking about the Holy Name. And he's creating a revolution in the society. It's not a sentimental statement to say that. He's really doing that. They're making these retreats and things all over the society. And encouraging the devotees to do something very, very important, which is to be very personal and intimate. And somehow, even with me, Maharaj is very kind and he treats me in a very personal, friendly way. We go to see Maharaj and he wasn't expecting me at Radhakunda once and then at Vrindavan once. And as soon as we came in, he said, "Oh, Madhavananda's here. Everybody leave. I want to talk with him for a few hours." And he would tell us, he's always teaching the devotees. Many times he says this thing, that if you want to develop a relationship with someone, you have to spend some quality time with them. And so he's teaching that. And it's not just a matter of like we have some friends in this world and we want some attention, some affection. In Sanskrit, disciples who want that, they're called Sneha Surata. They just want some attention and some affection from their guru. But he's teaching us something. And he's giving us something. He's teaching us that we should be personal in our dealings. And he's giving us his own heart. And that's Maharaj. I feel very, very blessed to have just a little bit of his association. I found that Maharaj is a very, very deep and mysterious person. Sometimes I think he hides himself. He acts maybe in a way a little humorous and comical. But behind that is a very, very sober person who is very careful about who he accepts as disciples. And he's very, very extremely focused about the goal of life. And you see that every year at his bhajan, his retreat that he goes personally. And he chants his japa for a month, Jagannath Puri, or God in some place. And by doing that, he's also teaching devotees that Nam is the most important thing. Nam is everything. It's one thing to be a theoretical speaker. And there's so many people who can say things very nicely and do this or that. But who is there who's actually embodying that? And because Maharaj is living what he's teaching, devotees are inspired by that. And he has some special shakti. And I've experienced that many times. I've been very fortunate to get some advice from Shri Sachinanda Maharaj many times. Whatever he says, I find it very amazing. It's almost like my Guru Maharaj is speaking, he just knows my heart. He says very, very valuable, very wise things, and he's helped us so much in our publication work. So I hope that on this occasion, all the devotees, they have a festival for Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada, in one article, he said that Vyas Puja is not just a matter of flowers and fruits that you offer. But Vyas Puja means that we imbibe the instructions of the Guru and then we imbibe the mood of the Guru. So Maharaj is such a special person. And I know that the devotees on this very special occasion, they offer Pushpa Mudra, not with just flower petals, but with their hearts. And they dedicate themselves and surrender everything. And I really hope that they bless me, that I can give more of Maharaj's association. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, what shall I say? Devotees are very kind to me. I didn't know that you would play such a video, but I guess that's part of the, let me say, part of the sweet dealings of Vaishnavas. To also accept affection and not forget Krishna during that time. You know, we like to give affection, but sometimes we are hesitant to accept affection. And I think it's important to accept affection for two reasons. First is a personal reason. People love you, and why shouldn't they love you? It's good. And the other is, you shouldn't say no if people love you. That is almost offensive towards the people, isn't it? Someone comes to you with a present and you say no, bang, and you throw it into the dirt. What is that? It's really maybe dysfunctional. Or offensive or hurtful. Yeah, I'm
I'm surprised. I thought it would only come on Saturday where I'm where I have the switch. Okay, people will praise you, but now it comes already today. You know, so thank you, Madhavananda. I'm trying to serve you more. God, what to say? I'm not deserving these words.
We were thinking, should we present this now because it's one day before Vyasa Puja, because, and we know that you are not so that it's not so easy for you to hear. But then we thought that we want to embellish this this disciple meeting also with the presence of such nice devotees, mm-hmm. and also Madhavananda Prabhu. He also wanted to share with us what is the meaning of Vyasa Puja, how to meet Guru, how to approach him, how to offer Pushpanjali. So we thought even before the day itself, and also because we didn't specifically ask it, because once you said that Vyasa Puja is our festival and we should give you pleasure. So we are using the opportunity and please accept our presence.
Radha Kripa, I will accept anything which you do. Radha Kripa has cooked for me when I was very ill, and I mean, Radha Kripa can sell me in the marketplace. she can do anything. Thank you. Good. So I want to. All right, it's your festival, Radha Kripa. I agree. I wanted to speak about another subject, and then I will open the forum for your questions. I want to speak about something which I hear quite often. Devotees feel discouraged. Mostly because of the dealings amongst devotees. They feel that they are unfairly treated, that they are misunderstood, and sometimes they even feel that other devotees are making political intrigues against them. Just when I was still in England, I received two such distressed emails from very nice devotees who told me how sometimes they were treated unfairly and really misunderstood, and it was really clear when I read their messages and I asked other devotees to get some further understanding that there was a mistake being done against these devotees. I could see that. I think this will happen to all of us in the course of our lives, that we will hear others talking rudely and maybe inconsiderate about us. Sometimes it does happen even that superior devotees will maybe do this. My dear devotees, don't become so disturbed by this. This is how you get your karma. You know, you get it through those people who are in your environment. And if you have become a devotee, devotees are the waiters and the waitresses of your karma. Waiters means konoba, or it means Kellner oder Kellnerin in Deutsch. Yeah? They dish out your karma. Someone has to do it. And because you are now living in devotee association, the devotees are being used for this, to do this. And sometimes these devotees do mistakes, great mistakes, in judging your motives and what you do and so on and so forth. But see, when you join Krishna consciousness, you must understand that Krishna consciousness is not so much about what others do and what they don't do, what others say and what they don't say. Krishna consciousness is really something between you and Krishna. And
And I feel in Krishna consciousness, you need to learn to satisfy Krishna, who speaks to you in a very subtle little voice, the voice of your conscience. Conscience heißt Gewissen. Conscience, how do we say in Croatian? Conscience? Savest? Yeah, Savest. Savest. Conscience. Is that the right English word, Malini Priya? Conscience? Conscience. Mm-hmm. It's that little voice which tells you what is right and what is wrong in your life. You should be you should, when you feel the voice of conscience tells you to do something, then, and if you feel that is Krishna's desire, or it may be a little bit also your desire, and Krishna says, yes, yes, do that, you know. But if there is this conscience, then you might like to ask a few good-hearted devotees who are, you feel know you, and so on. And then you have to go that way, and let the world form its opinion afterwards. That is the business of the world. Your business is to be satisfied by following the voice of conscience. I agree that this is a little difficult, because sometimes our conscience is mixed. There is the voice of conscience, but there is also my own desires and my own and my own interpretations. So it is a tricky thing. But ultimately you have to act, and you have to do it as good as you can, and you can follow the road of the acharyas to be on the safe way. But on that road of the acharyas, there is not just one way, there are different ways to deal with a certain thing. So please do not become discouraged if the world is not so kind to you. I remember in Germany, there was this time when we were seen in the public as a dangerous sect. Dangerous sect. Ooh. There were many articles. Sometimes, you know, the leading newspapers of Germany carried an article. Every week there was an article. And they really went wild in Germany. Gadada had told me that once on a camping place, they had performed with the Spurtel Skyliner. They had stayed there with the Spurtel Skyliner, and they performed their aerobics. And some people had seen it through the curtains, and they then reported to the police. There are two children, Gonitai, two children, which are tortured with fire. It was a wonderful aretic, first-class aretic, you know, in good style, according to Pancharatrika Deepika, you know, everything was followed. But, and then they came in with 30 policemen with machine guns, you know. And you know, Gadada was there, and he went, "Hoo!" <You know? laughs> and they, you know, went all around the car where police people, and then they asked, you're torturing children here. And by that time, the curtain was closed. And Gadada told me this. So then they said, "Open the curtain." And the pujari said, "No, Gonitai are sleeping." And the police people thought that there were some murderers who had killed now, that they were sleeping forever, you know. It was just so absurd, but the police was extremely serious, you know. Then the officer said, "I count until three, and then I will open the fire." So then, Tatva Sadhava, what should be done? open the curtain. So the palace people and then I think it was Gadara, or I heard it, or was it someone else? They played Govinda Mani Purusha. Govinda Hari Purusham Tamam Majami. And the curtain opened, and of course there were the deities and the police officer, and everything could be explained. But it was a time when Germany had been so wrongly informed by these badly informed newspaper, bad journalism, you call it. You know, that they thought we would be inhuman and dangerous and do things like this, so that everyone went. And then, you know, after some time, everything was all right, and the police people sat on the lawn and ate prasadam, and you know, and everything was normal. But I'm just saying, there was a time in Germany where there was so many bad information that it really hurt my heart when I read the newspapers. I really felt, oh no, how can they write this about the devotees? I know they maybe are a little bit Briso Plato or whatever, a little bit fast, but they are not bad people, they are good people. At least they have a good intention. So I want to tell you, please do not become discouraged if there are devotees who do not understand you properly and who say things which are not well considered, where they have not thought very deeply and have not got information. Don't allow this to discourage you. It's between you and Krishna. And most properly, these things happen because you have to learn something, and it comes through this way. Maybe you don't have to learn what the devotees tell you, but some karmic reactions to correct you are coming this way. But and one thing, don't fight and don't justify yourself. Just let this negative energy go out on its own, and then you will soon be on the safe platform. Anyways, that's just a tip, because I hear it from time to time that devotees feel discouraged. Follow the voice of your conscience. Do as that you can see, well, I tried my best to follow the instructions of my spiritual masters, the acharyas, and to follow what Krishna explains in the Gita. I made use of my intelligence, and this is what I can do. And you will see, with this minimum requirement of fixing one desire in your heart, you are on the safe side, because slowly these other things will go, these bad desires will go by association. But I guess, and I want to now close my part, I guess what I really wish to say to you, my dear devotees, is think about your ashraya. It's not a philosophical concept. You know, certain things, Damayanti, are not just understood in the head. For instance, childbirth. You can read many, I mean, I'm sorry, I just saw you next to the Rasa dance painting, and therefore I felt enthusiastic to call your name. But, you know, you can read books about childbirth, but when you give birth to a child, it's different. You can ask Ramananda. He was... yeah. Ramananda was there. Madhumati has a wonder... And Ramananda have a wonderful little Vaishnava. Ooh, Shukamuni is his name. Shukamuni. And you can hear, I phoned with Madhumati and then with Ramananda, because Madhumati did the major work in this, but also Ramananda was there and helped a lot, and what they explained to me, poof, there was really something in Europe. There was really something. Now, you can read it in books, but it's never the same as either doing it as a woman or being there and giving assistance. Also, Radha Sundari, you can ask her. Radha Sundari was also there giving first-class assistance with expertise and so on. But it's really something else when you see it, you know. It's really a miracle. Death also. I'm speaking about the two big miracles, birth and death. You know, when you are on your dying bed, it's completely different for you than what you have heard. So this point with Ashraya, taking shelter, I really want to tell you, you have to do it to know what I'm speaking about. You will not know it from a lecture. It's not possible for me to explain the feeling of when you feel Krishna is working in your life and taking care of you. It's so spannend. Spannend, what does this mean? So exciting. It's so comfort-giving. It's so relief-giving. It's really a new dimension in your Krishna consciousness. And all I can say, to take shelter, I would recommend you to read prayers, or to say prayers like the one which you have heard about, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Matya Lila. Let me too. I think I can remember. No, don't, I want to learn it. 22:33. It's so easy. 22:33. No? You can read this. And don't just read the verse, by the way. Read around this verse also to understand the philosophical implications and what it all means. And you will see a new dimension in your life. Please, my dear devotees, please do it. If you forget everything about this disciple meeting, remember Ashraya and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Matya Lila, 22:33. I learned it. Hare Krishna. Dobro. Now we will see another movie, we will open the forum for your questions and answers. Maybe we should even make a little pause, or should we make now a little pause and then start with the movie? I think that's best. A little pause. Why be so? But let us make a creative pause of 15 minutes. Is that good? 15 minutes. Is who is the time person? Yeah, who? Ananda Nitai. After 15 minutes, Ananda... Hey, psst! Our devotees like to talk. That's very nice. Psst! 1 second, devotees, devotees, 1 second. After 15 minutes, Ananda Nitai will make this... let us say after 13 minutes, Ananda Nitai will make this noise, and then you have 2 minutes time to find your place, okay? Hare Krishna. Actually, do the sound after 15 minutes. We have enough time. Yeah. And you have to be back on time, because we start with the movie.